Colossus, look out!
I see it, Storm.
Xavier's School for the Gifted. The Danger Room. All of the current team, sans Wolverine and Nightcrawler, amid training. Colossus destroying one of their robotic opponents with ease.
I thought you said this thing had a holographic simulator now. Like in Star Wars?
Trek.
Huh?
I believe it is Star Trek
that has such a device, Kitty.
The Shia upgrades are much more complex and dangerous than this. Given we are 2 team members short, and yourself and Rogue's inexperience.
Inexperience? Darling, I've taken Miss Marvel. I can handle some holograms.
Rogue strikes, destroying another robotic device.
Yeah, I've gone to the future and fought the Brotherhood. I can handle it.
Very well. Danger Room, activate program Sentinel Attack, level 5. Begin when ready.
Loading program. Warning, this program is recommended for a team of 6 or above.
Noted. Activate program.
Activating.
The silver walls of the Danger Room fade away, replaced by a post-apocalyptic wasteland. Around the 4 land an entire squadron of massive Sentinel units.
Mutants detected. Proceeding with immediate termination.
Yeah? Terminate this, Buckethead!
Rogue flies up, striking one of the Sentinels with her superhuman strength. It falls back and to the ground. Behind her, however, 2 others raise their hands and fire.
Do not worry. I shall destroy this machine.
Colossus walks up to the foot of one of the firing Sentinels and strikes a double-handed punch. It stumbles back. But 2 more then fire on Colossus.
Peter!
Kitty moves in, phases through the leg of one Sentinel. It shorts out, causing the robot to drop to one knee.
Yes! I did warn you, child.
Storm raises her arms, catching her summoned wind under her cape and propelling her up into the air. She then calls upon lightning and strikes it into a Sentinel's head.
I call on the power of lightning!
The head is gone. The smoking body of the Sentinel falling to the city ruins below. A few seconds later, the rest of the group rally together, and the entire squadron is destroyed.
Sea Storm, we can handle...
Rogue is blasted in the back as 2 more groups of Sentinels drop in.
Mutants detected.
Oh boy.
Meanwhile, Charles Xavier sits alone in his office, reading and drinking Earl Grey tea.
Now who could that be?
Charles rolls himself to the front door.
It's open. Hank! I wasn't expecting you.
In the doorway stands the blue, furry form of Hank McCoy.
This isn't a social call, Charles. I would have called, but I lost my phone recently and the contact number for the school was...
What is it, Hank?
It's Warren, Charles. He's missing.
You had better come inside.
A few moments later, the team meet with Xavier and Beast in the primary ground floor sitting area.
Well, that sucked. Wow. My body hurts all over.
One more team member and we would have had him.
Indeed. Perhaps next time you will train at the level I suggest for us.
I see the rumors were true. You took her in.
Hank glares at Rogue, who retreats in on herself, lowering her head and hugging her shoulders.
As I did for you all, as I recall. And many others just as untamed.
Wolverine was one thing, Professor. She killed Carol.
Carol Danvers is not dead, Hank. Just in a coma.
Like that's much better. She was a friend of mine.
On the Avengers. I know. I'm sorry, Hank. She cares about you too.
How dare you?
This is irrelevant, Hank. Tell us about Warren.
His girlfriend, Candy Southern. Do you remember her? She called me yesterday. He's been missing for 4 days.
Perhaps he simply no longer wished to continue their relationship.
No. His apartment's empty. His mail is piled up and no one has seen or heard from him.
Maybe he just went on a trip out of nowhere. Someplace far? Like Logan?
Not that either. I have my contacts. His credit cards haven't been used, nor his passport. Professor, I wouldn't have come to you if I hadn't have already considered all of this. I need the X-Men.
Why don't you just call Rogers or Stark?
The team is indisposed. They're off-planet right now.
Even if that were not so, Beast, he is one of us. We must find him.
$20 says we find him in Mexico City, surrounded by drugs and strippers.
Kitten!
Sorry.
I hope you are right, my dear. I think.
We shall look into it, Hank. Come, everyone.
A little while later, at Cerebro, Xavier places the metal cap on his head and activates the mutant detection device.
I think I have him. He isn't far. There.
The screen zooms in on a map of Manhattan, New York.
He is in the city. No. Below it. His signal is coming from the sewers.
Is he all right?
He is alive, but weak. I am also detecting over 50 other mutant signatures surrounding him.
Then he was taken and is being held against his will. Come, X-Men. We must rescue Angel at once. Do you wish to come, Beast? Wolverine is still in Japan and...
Of course. If you people weren't going to, I was going to go myself anyway.
Be careful, all of you. I will contact Nightcrawler and have him meet you there.
Meanwhile, overlooking Central Park in the apartment rented by flight attendant Amanda Sefton, Nightcrawler is enjoying a bath. Naked with her in every sense of the word, he is in his true blue, furry form.
To us, my dear.
To us.
The two clink glasses of white wine.
And to you. You have accepted me for who I truly am. A rare thing, especially after all that has happened of late.
I don't care about that. In fact, blue has always been my favorite color.
She moves in close, her body on top of his.
Has it now?
Crawler's tail is now pointing straight up out of the bubbles beneath him.
Then I am glad you took that flight last month. And even more glad that you caught me without my image inducer.
So am I.
Nightcrawler.
What is it, Professor?
Who? What Professor? Who are you talking to?
Shh!
An emergency situation has arisen. Meet the rest of the X-Men by Central Park. They will brief you there.
Ah, Gottverdammt. Understood.
As Xavier's mind fades from his, Kurt looks back to Amanda with apologetic eyes.
I'm, really sorry about this, but I have to go.
What?
Rain check?
New York City, by Central Park.
This had better be really important, mein Freunds. I'm... Beast? What are you doing here?
I shall explain on the way, Nightcrawler. A lot of Irish. How did your date with the flight attendant go?
It was going really well, Peter. Was.
Kurt? Why are you wet?
Soon, Colossus finds them an out-of-sight manhole cover and the group descend into the sewers. They now walk in the dark. Hank up ahead with a flashlight.
This pad is connected directly to Cerebro. It will allow us to track down Warren's exact location. This way.
Stay close, Kitten.
I'd ask you to call me by my code name if I didn't think it was so dumb.
I thought you liked Sprite.
No, Sprite's a kid's name. I'm an X-Man. Woman.
I see.
The group proceed. Rogue hanging back and keeping to herself.
Are you okay, Rogue?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You are sure? We do not see much of you around the mansion.
I just like to keep to myself.
Because of your powers. We do not need to touch you to be your friend.
No, because no one wants to know me after what I did.
You were manipulated by a very skilled manipulator.
Yeah, I guess. Nightcrawler?
Call me Kurt.
Kurt, I think you and I need to have a talk after this is over.
Oh, what about?
Mystique.
And, why would I want to know that?
She told me things. About her past. Let's... After. We'll talk after.
Okay.
Ahead of them.
Hey, Peter.
Hello, Katya.
So, I turn 16 soon.
Yes, I know.
How old are you again?
I am 22 years of age.
Ah, well, that's not much of a gap.
No, but let us not continue this conversation.
Why?
Because you're still a child, not much older than my little sister. And you are like a little sister to me as well.
Oh. Okay.
And at the head of the line.
So, Storm, how are you finding being the team leader?
It has its challenges, but I believe I'm getting there.
Really? Even with Rogue?
She is new. I do not like her. I do not trust her. But that was once true for Wolverine, Shiro, and Thunderbird as well.
You still hate Shiro. And Thunderbird died before you two even really spoke.
Yes, well, we are all lost souls looking for guidance. Xavier gave us that. Rogue is no different.
You sound just like him.
Yes, well, I think if I repeat his words enough, then perhaps I will eventually believe them.
I see. Wait. Everyone, alert. Mutant signatures approaching.
Intruders!
Get them!
From above jump a group of deformed individuals, attacking them.
Everyone, get behind me!
With a flex, Colossus's skin becomes solid steel.
I can take care of myself, thank you, Peter.
Yeah! You get behind me, sugar!
The group engage, the X-Men's mutant powers overwhelming their foes. Storm turns to Kitty.
Kitty! Scout out ahead. Find out what we are up against, but do not engage. Stay phased or hidden at all times, and then return here.
Okay. Good luck, guys.
Your concern is admirable.
Colossus throws one attacker into the other.
But misplaced.
Hey! He was mine!
But as Kitty runs off ahead and phases through a far wall, a group watch the fight from the shadows. The massive, bald brute speaks first.
Should we be fighting them, Cal? They're mutants, like us.
Not like us, Sunder. They pretty. Hate them. Wanna hurt them.
Patience, Mask. You'll get your chance. For now, we wait. Watch and learn. Find out their powers and how they use them.
The woman is dressed all in black. Almost biker-like attire, with an equally black eye patch on her face. The group turn and walk away, unaware as Kitty phases through a wall behind them.
We'll lure them deeper into the tunnels. Then we'll nail him.
Jackpot. A trap, huh? Let's stay close, but not too close, and hear more before I head back and tell Storm.
Wait. Who's there? A girl. Plague, she's yours.
A creepy, homeless-looking old woman steps up and goes to grab Kitty. But she phases, and her hand goes straight through her.
Whoa!
I can't touch her. She's a ghost.
My turn. Stand aside.
Sunder strikes, destroying the wall and pulling a section out.
Now what, you idiot? If she can walk through walls, then throwing one at her won't do much. Let her run. She won't get far. And if a single molecule of the disease plague manifested inside of her stuck, then the moment she solidifies, she's as good as dead.
Meanwhile...
anyone need a hand? I'm available.
I'm good.
As am I, my fellow blue furry friend.
Thank you for the offer, Nightcrawler, but I have the situation well in hand.
Storm raises her arms wide, her black circular cape billowing as she blasts the assailants away with a massive gust of wind.
No enemies left. They must have fled.
Storm, where is Sprite? Should she not have returned by this time?
Indeed.
Blasted!
Beast?
Our link to Cerebro has been jammed. I'm not getting anything.
Storm frowns and raises her fingers to her temples.
Professor Xavier, do you hear me? Nothing.
Is it possible they have a psychic who is blocking him? Like with the Hellfire Club?
And a mutant or device blocking our link to Cerebro, too.
Then we must press on.
But Storm, what about Kitty?
Hopefully we will find her and Angel. Sending her alone was clearly a mistake, one I shall not make again.
I am going to find her.
No, Colossus. We shall split into two groups to cover the tunnels better. You take Nightcrawler and Beast.
Will you be all right alone with Rogue?
Hey, what's that supposed to mean?
Both of us can fly. It will be useful for a quick escape if we need it.
And give you time with our newest ex-woman alone, to finally make her feel like part of the team. Good call, fearless leader. All right then.
Activate your earpieces. Stay in radio contact.
Agreed. I want updates every 20 minutes.
Understood.
The two groups split up, heading deeper into the tunnels in separate directions. Meanwhile, in a far tunnel...
Guys? Man, all these tunnels look the same. Where did they go? I'm lost, and I don't feel so good.
Kitty's eyes close as she falls face down into the sewer water. But before she can drown, a figure in a wide brim hat and cloak scoops her up.
Do not fear. Caliban has you. Wow. Such a pretty girl. Caliban will make you well.
The gray mutant carries her, heading into the deepest, darkest of sewer tunnels. Elsewhere, Storm and Rogue press on.
Why me?
Sorry?
Why bring just me with you? You're tight with all the others. Any of them would have made a better partner, flying or not.
For exactly that reason, Rogue, I wish to get to know you.
I seem to remember you almost quitting when Xavier put me on your team.
True, but that was a rash decision on my part. I should not have judged you so harshly. You are a child. A scared child who did what her mother figure asked of her. You are lost and confused, as we all were before Xavier found us.
You? The mighty goddess of Africa? Yeah, right.
But I am not a goddess, Rogue. I am just a mutant, like you. And living in that fantasy was exactly the reason I was lost.
I want to make it right. What I did to Carol...
I know. But part of me wonders who is speaking when you say that. You or Carol Danvers?
Me? You've got to trust me someday, you know, or this ain't gonna work.
Trust is earned, and not so easily. Wait. That door. It leads onto the subway track, some sort of maintenance station.
Yeah, but it says out of use. It's abandoned.
Indeed. A perfect nesting place for the likes of those who attacked us. Come.
The two walk into the darkness. Storm is about to turn on a flashlight when high-beam spotlights turn on all around them, revealing an abandoned station with a very old, broken-down train. And beyond it is the group of outcast mutants.
Do not move, intruders! Try anything, and you will be taken down.
I am Storm, leader of the X-Men. We come in peace, seeking a friend.
You mean Angel? Then you are in luck. He's here.
The seeming leader steps aside, revealing Warren Worthington. Out cold and nude, but for a cloth forming underwear, strapped to an X like a cross.
What have you done to him? Who are you?
I am Callisto. And these are the Morlocks. This is our home, and you will treat it as such. As for Angel, well, every princess must have a prince.
And for me, who more fitting than the most beautiful man in all the world? A literal angel!
Well, that's not creepy at all.
You're just in time, ladies, for a most wonderful ceremony. I need to clip this playboy's wings.
Callisto raises a knife and cuts a handful of feathers from Angel's wing.
I think not. Storm to Team 2. We are in an abandoned subway station to the northwest. We have found Angel and the attacker's base. We need assistance now. Rogue, engage.
I thought you'd never ask.
Rogue and Storm fly up and charge towards Callisto.
Morlocks, stop them!
The army of deformed mutants rise up and attack. Elsewhere in the tunnels, Caliban has laid Kitty down on a bed. His face is like that of Gollum. Gray, bald, and malformed, with giant eyes and pointed ears.
Storm? Peter?
No, my love. It is I, Caliban.
Who are you? Where have you taken me?
Kitty tries to jump up and stand, but falls back onto the bed again.
No, no, no! You must not die!
What happened to me?
The old woman, Plague. She did this. Caliban knows her work.
What? Why are you saying you love me?
Because you are the prettiest thing Caliban has ever seen.
I'm also a minor, creep.
Human laws. Bah! We do not live by them down here.
Yeah, well, if you truly love me, you'll take me to my friends. They can help me.
But Caliban must not defy Callisto. She made him use his mutant powers to find mutants for her. Outcasts and people who would join us down here with no place in the pretty human world. By now the X-Men will all be dead or captured. It was Callisto's plan.
But you say you love me. If you do, then help me. And help the X-Men. If you don't, then I will always hate you. Always. Do you want that?
No. No! What must Caliban do?
Take me to the others. To where they have the X-Men.
Rogue and Storm fought hard, but were soon overcome by the numbers. And when the reinforcements arrived, they too were overcome. Colossus, Nightcrawler, and Beast fought until their last ounce of strength gave in, but they now are strapped by rope to the same railing as the other two ex-women.
Now, it is time.
Callisto emerges in a torn and tattered wedding dress.
Oh, my stars and garters. Warren, wake up.
Hank, where? Oh my God, where are we?
At your wedding, pal. Not exactly how I pictured it.
What?
Don't do this, Callisto! Angel is not a plaything for you to take and use!
He, all of us, are mutants like you!
You are nothing like us! You all have powers that you can hide. You can walk as one of the beautiful people. We are the mutant society shuns. The outcasts. The misfits. The ones who will never be accepted. But you... You, Nightcrawler, are like us. You can never fit in as you are.
I have my ways.
Like what? A disguise? Why hide when you can be at home here with us? Join us!
Never! My appearance is my own cross to bear. I fight on the X-Men so that one day, people like us can walk freely among humans. I fight for a day of acceptance.
Then you are a fool.
Perhaps the only way to make you all understand is make you like us.
Mask, whose hood covers his melted and misshapen face, reaches up to touch Storm's. Her face begins to twist and melt.
No! Stop!
Enough, Mask.
He does as he is told, stopping his power before the change becomes permanent.
Mask here has an ironic curse indeed. He can change the shape of any face, and all but his own.
You people don't have to do this. Why are you following her orders?
Because they are my children. I use Caliban to find them and save them from the mobs and lives as lab rats. Or worse. This is a city of the damned. My city. This alley is our home base. And you are trespassing.
Let Angel go and we will leave.
Sorry. The Angel is mine.
Callisto! Wait!
Everyone turns, the crowd parting to reveal Caliban with Kitty in his arms.
She is dying!
Kitty!
No!
That is all the motivation Nightcrawler and Colossus need, teleporting and powering out of their restraints. Behind them, Storm, Beast, and Rogue soon free themselves too.
What happened to her?
Storm runs up to Kitty and Caliban.
The same thing will happen to you, dear.
The old woman reaches up and grabs Storm's arm. She falls, her skin turning a shade paler.
Storm!
That was just a taste. I touch her again, longer, and she'll be as dead as the young one.
How about a taste of man?
Her hand uncovered from her green glove, Rogue reaches out and grabs Plague. Plague falls as Rogue smirks at the other Morlocks. She puts herself between them and Aurora.
Anyone want a tasty old medicine? A plague and stealing your powers all in a touch. Go for it. Make my day.
But behind her comes Sunder.
That's if you can touch me, little girl.
Sunder strikes Rogue hard in the back of the head. She falls, but then rises back up into the air.
Big mistake, big boy.
And flies into him.
Kurt, Hank, we must end this. Kitty does not have much time. We must get her back to the mansion.
If we do, I believe I can help her in my old lab. But first, we must defeat our adversaries.
The two heavy hitters rush into combat, pounding and striking through the massive horde of Morlocks. As the battle rages, Storm stands, steadying herself and looking out at the scene. Then to Kitty, as she lay in pain. She looks terrible. She will not last much longer.
Stop! You must stop! Can't you see she is dying, Callisto? She is but a girl.
If she dies, then she dies.
The rest of you then. Caliban, can't you see this is wrong?
They will not listen. The only way they will is if Callisto is replaced as leader in combat.
Then I will take that challenge. Callisto, you and I...
No. No, Kurt. I lead the X-Men. It is my fight. I challenge you to a duel, Callisto. The winner rules your people.
I accept. But any duel would be to the death. And none of your powers. Just a one-handed weapon and our mortal selves. Agreed?
I agree to your terms.
Around them, the battle stops as all turn to see the duel. A ring of people now forming around the two women. Callisto pulls out a knife, then another, throwing the first to Storm. Aurora frowns, but picks it up.
My mutant's gifts may be stronger than any human, and I have fought all my life for what I have. Without your power, Storm, you are nothing.
I grew up a thief on the streets of Cairo. I learned to defend myself long before I controlled the weather.
Let's see.
The two women move in for each other. Callisto strikes. Storm parries it. Again and again, Storm just moves out of the way in time. But Callisto brings up a backhand and draws first blood, slashing Aurora's cheek. And laughs as Storm misses her with a clumsy response.
You're making this too easy, Silvertop. I almost pity you.
And you. Callisto, talk too much.
Storm moves quickly, throwing her cape and using it to wrap up Callisto's knife arm, pulling it up. Callisto tries to break free, but Storm moves in and stabs Callisto, driving her knife deep into the Morlock's chest. Callisto's eyes go wide in shock, and then shut as she falls to the ground, lifeless. Storm smirks, her eyebrows narrowing in a dark and satisfied look. She turns to the Morlocks.
It is over. I have won. And by your laws, that means I now rule the Morlocks. By my command, the X-Men are free and will return to our base with Angel.
But Kitty is mine. She must stay with me. I love her.
You do not love her, Caliban. You want her, just as Callisto wanted Angel. And shame on you, she's just a girl.
And Caliban's just a boy.
Enough! Touch her again, and your fate will be far worse than your former leader's. We are leaving now. But you need not hide here any longer. Any of you that wish to do so may come to Xavier's school. You will be safe there.
We can't.
This is our home. We do not belong at your school any more than you do here, Storm.
Very well.
Storm turns and walks towards her team as Beast unties Angel and Colossus picks up Kitty in his arms. Peter's face is ashen.
How is Callisto?
The healer is working on her. I think she will live. But if not for the healer, Roro, you would have killed her.
I know, as did Callisto. The terms of the duel were known to both of us before it began. Now come, Kitty does not have time for this.
Back at Xavier's the next day.
Where's the kid? Where's Kitty?
She is fine, Wolverine. A Beast was able to cure her of the disease. Welcome home, by the way.
I skimmed the text. Better start at the beginning.
A short time later, the entire team is gathered on the lawn. Kitty, too. Well enough to be there, but still dressed in her purple pajamas.
What exactly are we all doing out here? And not that I'm complaining. It is a beautiful day.
Storm said to meet her out here at 2:00.
So, new team member, huh?
Yeah. We are not sure we can trust her. She was a member of the Brotherhood and hurt a fellow superhero in California. Put her in a coma.
She did, huh? Interesting.
Yeah. So, you've been gone for weeks. You are going to tell us what happened in Japan, huh?
Nope.
The group then all look up as storm clouds form. From them drops Storm, but not the Storm they know. Her black costume and cape are gone, as is the headdress. Indeed, there will be nothing to support it any longer. Storm is dressed instead in all black leather, with a sleeveless black vest over a white undershirt, her hair shaven back into a sleek mohawk. The group stare, wide eyes and open jaws all around.
Aurora? What have you done?
Hello, kitten. Thank you all for meeting me here. As you can see, there have been some changes.
Well, I really did miss a lot.
Meanwhile, in Alaska, Scott Summers sits alone in an airport bar. He doesn't even have a ticket. He'll buy one when he knows where he wants to go.
This seat taken?
Huh? Oh, no. Go for it.
Scott turns from nestling his drink as the woman sits at the bar next to him and has to suppress a gasp. She is the spitting image of Jean Grey. Same body, same face, same green eyes, same fiery red hair. The only difference is that the hair is cut into a shoulder-length bob. She is dressed in a khaki flight jacket with the logo of some cargo company on it.
Scotch on the rocks. Don't care about the brand.
Coming right up.
She nods, and then notices Scott staring at her.
Can I help you?
What? No. Sorry, you just... You just look like someone I used to know.
Oh, ex-girlfriend?
Well, yeah. Something like that.
That's not creepy at all.
Sorry, I'll go.
No, it's okay. You didn't mean anything by it. Truth is, I sat here because I wanted to talk to you.
You did?
Yeah. What's with the red shades?
Oh, the light. I have a condition. The light hurts my eyes and have to wear these to protect them.
Oh, well, they're cool.
The woman now reaches out her hand.
Madeline Pryor.
Scott Summers. Pleased to meet you.
X-Men The Audio Drama, Season 3, Episode 6, The Morlocks. Narrated by Sam Devereaux. Starring Tari Peterside as Storm, Ryan Lawton as Nightcrawler, Joey Solis as Colossus and Beast, Jennifer Simmons as Kitty Pryde, Tansy Fennelly as Rogue, Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier, Keith Seymour as Angel, also with Rex Anderson as Wolverine, and Omri Rose as Cyclops. Christina Tubb as Callisto, PJ Argento as Caliban, Kelly Hurtling as Sunder, Adrian Smith as Plague, Thomas Lee as Mask, Eleanor Wells as Amanda Sefton, Victoria Savage as Madeline Pryor, The Danger Room, Barman and Morlocks by Oscar Stavemeyer, also with a Morlock by Kelly Hurtling. Music by Declan Gilgallon. Rock Symphony cover of the X-Men theme by John McKinney. Written and edited by Carl Dozen. Adapted from Uncanny X-Men 169 and 170 by Chris Claremont. Sound effects sourced from freesound.org and pon5.com. Sewer soundscape and water pouring by Inspector J of freesound.org. With thanks to our patrons, Adrian Smith, DJ, Eleanor Wells, Silas X, The Ranger, Alex Painter, Catelyn Harper, Dan Bloyne, Hilton Wright, Ian Campbell, Joey Scotch, Kian Washington, Spare Parts, Kim Good, Orlando, Damon, Zach Adamson, Chris Gonzalez, Nathan Poon, with a huge shout out to our top tier patrons, Ryan Woods, Mike Welder, and Corey Schlute. X-Men and all characters therein are copyright of Marvel Entertainment and Disney. This is a fan non-profit production, doing copyright infringement intended. Next time, The Brood.